Good morning. It's Friday, August 9th, and you've tuned into North Idaho News of the Week. My name's Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Will Love, again, our summer host.
Yes. How are you doing, Jack?
I'm doing very well.
All right. Hey, yes. Quick question for you.
Ask away.
Okay. So, besides an event where you can swim.
Okay.
All right. Uh-huh. What sport do you think you would be good at in the Olympics?
In the Olympic Games. Ooh. Let's see. I tried my hand in high school at track and field briefly, and track was not my thing.
Okay.
But the field sports I could do. Okay. I could probably do a shot put.
A shot
put? I think. Maybe so. Yeah.
All right.
What about
a javelin?
I would love to try the javelin.
Okay.
Yeah. I never have thrown one, though.
Yeah.
That's recently a high school sport here.
Yeah, they're bringing it in Idaho. Yeah, bringing it back to Idaho. Yeah.
I never had the chance when I was in high school.
Now, the one that's kind of scary is the hammer. One where it's got kind of the ball and the handle.
They like spin around?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. I can see that going bad. Yeah. Fun fact.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to like try to play out your Olympic dream of going to throwing, my parents, their place, when they bought it, it had a circle. It's a concrete circle for the throwing events
You
could use. Yeah.
All
so anyway, if you want to go, I can see the Rocky montage right now of you like working for the Los Angeles Summer Games.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. And you would, I imagine, play basketball or?
I mean,
what would be your second pick if not?
Second pick, I don't know. You know, I think this comes up every 4 years, but that we don't play more handball in the United States is kind of surprising. Seems like a fun sport, and then probably, I don't know, trying the trampoline. One, I think that would be kind of cool.
I'm unfamiliar with this.
Well, basically, you jump on a trampoline and you do a bunch of flips and stuff like that.
Okay.
Now, it wouldn't work out well for me, but it'd still be kind of fun if you could do that kind of stuff.
I was good at water polo, which is a swimming sport, but I was probably a better water polo player than I was like a racing swimmer.
Okay.
But but that was not a high school sport that you could play for like credit when I went to school.
Okay. Well, 2028 Los Angeles Games.
There we go. I could do that. Just as long as I don't have to run. I'm a terrible runner.
Yeah. If you see Jack down at the beach with a ball and throwing it at things, then we know that you're training.
Okay. Let's also, but this is a good time to mention that I believe next week we'll probably be doing sort of a fall sports preview.
That's the plan.
Yeah. Max Oswald in from the Bonner County Daily Bee to talk about what's coming up in local sporting news. Today, Sansare Mitchell is here. She is the staff writer for the Sandpoint Reader. And you were in the Olympic Games 2 years ago, right?
We give her an opportunity to identify, I mean, what would be your sport?
See, I am not great at most sports, so I'd probably have to go with archery, which is something I have at least done and like to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. That's a cool one. Mm-hmm. And yes. Okay. Archery. That's a nice pick. Let's talk about the news, the local news here in our area, which is, of course, why we're here on North Idaho News of the Week. It is... I don't know if it's ever a slow news week, but it certainly wasn't a fast one. Maybe we're just, you know, after a few weeks of like breakneck, especially national news, this feels now like it's in a lull. But here in Bonner County, the county commissioners, who we haven't seen in the headlines all that often lately, but they sparred a little bit over a potential $72,000 severance package for an exiting employee. Sansare wrote the big story on that in the Reader, and we'll go into the details of that in just a little bit. In state news, the Secretary of State, Phil McGrane, is moving forward with the ballot measure on primary elections procedure, the Open Primaries Initiative. Meanwhile, Attorney General Raul Labrador still has a lawsuit pending to block that measure from the November ballot. So we will see what unfolds there. There was an interesting story in The Reader, your paper, about a new law that went into effect on July 1st, which had the consequence, whether that's intended or unintended, of prohibiting minors from accessing rape kit exams without parental consent. And there's some concerns about that expressed by especially the reporter Ruth Brown from Idaho Reports contributed that piece. Down in Spirit Lake, there was a proposal to, I believe, dredge a sandbar at Spirit Lake's Brickle Creek. But there was, at a recent meeting at Timberlake High School in Spirit Lake, there was overwhelming community opposition to the potential removal of the sandbar, and the project has now stopped in its tracks. So it looks like that project will go no further. And that's all the news I had, but Will, you had something to mention.
I was going to bring this up because Daily Bee had a story about it, and I was also first person witness to it. But if you've gone north towards Bonner's Ferry, the MacArthur Lake project, where they're replacing the old bridge, it's in the home stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that means some delays. And so Sunday, when we were going to go huckleberry picking, about a half an hour was spent waiting to get through at the light there that they've the temporary light that they've installed. And then according to this article in the Daily Bee, and I heard about it from other people, is that delays backed up traffic from that project to Samuel's store, which is incredible when you kind of think about how many cars that would take to get there. But on the other hand, good news is that new bridge is getting close to done. Yeah. They're laying some pavement and stuff like that. But if you're going north Bonner's Ferry Way past MacArthur Lake, just you might for the next week or so take a little bit of, or build in a little extra time.
How did it affect southbound traffic? Same thing?
Same thing. Fortunately for us, both times we were coming later in the evening. So, you don't realize how much traffic 95 has until you see something like that that backs it up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is the only major, artery between not only just Priest River and Sandpoint, but it's also the major connection to Canada.
From North Idaho.
So it's, that would have a significant impact.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind.
Okay. Watch out. Good traffic report, Will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this the helicopter? Live in the helicopter.
There is more to talk about, and I'm sure we can find more to discuss. We can even take a venture into Middle Earth and talk about hobbits if we don't have anything else to discuss. I think you have two pieces in this week's Reader mentioning the works of Tolkien, but right now let's stick to North Idaho and talk about what's going on at the Bonner County Commission. I guess we'll start with the specifics, and can you kind of tell us what this story is about, the friction between Williams and Ahmet and Bradshaw, the three county commissioners, on the subject of a potential severance package for an exiting employee.
Yeah, so as you said, the county commissioners have been relatively quiet for quite a while since the last election.
Yeah.
But recently, an issue did spill out after an executive session regarding the $72,000 payment. This is a personnel matter, of course, and so generally, that's not something that's shared publicly, but Commissioner Williams did consult legal and was able to give a statement basically releasing the name of the person who would be paying, which is Jessie Reinbold, and she is the business operations manager, deputy clerk and public information officer of the county, and she did recently confirm that today is her last day. And so Because it's a personnel matter, we don't have many specific details. We don't know why she's leaving or why they are considering giving her a year's worth salary in severance package. Basically, what Commissioner Williams said after executive session was that she personally has had some issues with Reinbold. For one, I guess that was last year by now, when Bradshaw allegedly threatened Williams' life. One of the witnesses on Bradshaw's behalf was Miss Reinbold. And she didn't say exactly how that connected. She just said it. And then she went on to say that Reinbold and the deputy clerks have filed a few complaints against her with HR of harassment that she was found not guilty of by an independent investigator. And again, she didn't say how that exactly related to Reinbold's resignation or the request for severance, but she did bring it up and say that they were related. So,
Okay. And that, I mean, is there any more anyone can say about that, really? I mean, are there any more details that we know, or it's all kind of cloaked by anonymity or whatever, you know, the right to privacy?
Yeah, it is largely confidential, so yeah. Amit and Bradshaw can't really say any more. I imagine Miss Reinbold will be able to speak more now that she's out of the county. However, they have branded this payment as a way of avoiding litigation, so yeah. She might not be willing to make a statement if that is the case. And the only other update is that Commissioner Williams submitted the payment to Prosecutor Lewis Marshall, who will or has submitted it for investigation to the Attorney General's office. And so there are a few members of the public voicing concerns about it maybe being sort of like a gift to a friend, which of course are all unsubstantiated, but they are floating around. And so anyone who has those concerns is now submitting them to the Attorney General.
Yeah. Now, Jesse Reinbold responded back to you, right? Mm-hmm. And can you give us shed a little bit more light on what she was saying in that response?
Yeah, she had a very brief response. We heard the rumor, so of course we wanted to confirm with her, and she did say that she was indeed leaving and that she couldn't say much, aside from the fact that it was a very hard decision for her. She's been in the county for a number of years and obviously wears a lot of hats. I know I've worked with her a lot. Well, I've given her a lot of work, is to say, considering she handles the public records requests. But what she did elaborate on was sort of a response to a blog post, or multiple blog posts now, by the right-wing blog Readout News, written and published by Sherry Duvalli, who made some very blatant accusations and presented them as news. But I guess they're not technically a newspaper, so they are allowed to do that. But Ms. Reinbold did say that Readout prints one-sided misinformed articles on a pretty consistent basis, which is something that we've heard talk of from sources before, but no one has ever really been willing or able to come out and say that directly.
Do you know how long Reinbold had been employed with the county?
Oh, it's quite a few years now. I'm not quite sure.
She's not a new county employee by any means.
No, from my perspective, at least, she practically ran the county. She was the one that I dealt with mostly, considering she did public outreach and was a deputy clerk and all that.
Yeah. And she had run for office.
No, it's a hired position.
Yeah. But previously she ran for an office and lost. Am I right?
I'm not sure.
Do you remember that, Jack?
You could very well be.
I will look that up.
Okay, I might be wrong.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then I was just going to say, the other two commissioners haven't shed any light on this.
No, their hands are pretty much tied in this matter. I'm sure that they could consult with legal the way Williams did and try and cobble together a statement, but it's hard when they say that there is potential litigation that could be involved. You don't really want to say too much that could be used against you.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you maybe, I don't know, in the Daily Bee article, they kind of addressed the discussion of what happened, or they discussed what happens if a board member resigns.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why they discussed that? Were you there, or have you heard anything along those regards?
Yes, so there has been a rumor, an unconfirmed rumor, going around that Commissioners Ahmet and Bradshaw might intend to step away from their positions before their term is up. And I'm not sure of the source of that rumor initially. It's been passed around, I think, on Facebook and through all the usual circles. So they did address that. And essentially, just to put everyone's mind at ease, if either one or both of them did step down, since we just had an election, the Republicans already have their top three picks set up. They'll just leave the positions open for one day so that we can say they were open. And then they'll submit a list of names to the governor, who has 15 days to confirm them. And once they're confirmed, they'll just be sitting commissioners until the upcoming election, which they're running in. And they'll either win as an incumbent or they'll lose and it'll just go on as normal.
Is the severance package for severance payments for county employees, is that normal? Is that something that happens? Usually severance, if somebody's leaving by their own will, that's a little unusual from any organization. But I don't know if the county has any kind of, you know, severance plan for employees that have to be, I don't know, laid off or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not that, I mean, counties are a little different than other businesses, of course. It's a municipality, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Is it, I guess my question just comes down to how strange is it to see somebody leaving and being at least potentially given an extra year of pay for after they've left the job. Any idea?
It is certainly somewhat odd. Especially the dollar amount. An entire year's salary is quite a bit of money, especially with the county going into budgeting right now and budgets being a little tight. They haven't been able, of course, to justify why they chose that amount. I assume they chose it for a reason. But we don't really know if they have a history of giving severance payments, especially to members who are leaving of their own volition. I assume that implies that there was a reason for her leaving that was not entirely controllable by her.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, we don't know if there's a history of severance payments. Certainly not ones this size, I don't believe.
Yeah. Well, interesting. It's hard to ask further questions because there's not that much more we can know about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it kind of comes down to, you know, whether the general public would think this is fair comes down to the circumstances surrounding her leaving, and we don't know what those circumstances are exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But there has been no, as William says, there has been no litigation filed, no notice of tort, no notice of representation yet. So this would be a very preemptive measure if it is indeed kind of intended to head off a potential lawsuit for Bonner County.
And when or if she does intend to file that lawsuit, then we will be able to hear more about the specifics that comes out about that. But until then, we're just waiting around.
Okay.
What about more in regard to the budgeting process? How has the budget kind of played out? Is there any other things that have kind of come up that are newsworthy?
It's all pretty par for the course. The budgeting every year is a very extensive process, as you can imagine. All of the meetings are available, streamed on YouTube, and I think each of them is about 3 hours long, you know, once or twice a week. I know the only related issue that Williams brought up was that they were trying to budget for an additional custodian since the county is adding new buildings, and they weren't able to budget for the custodian salary, which would have been $45,000. But otherwise, things are just chugging along as usual.
Okay. I guess you kind of mentioned right at the top there that things have been kind of quiet over at the county. Can you characterize, you've been following county news for, or the county commission for, what, a couple of years now, it seems like. How did things change after the May primary election when we now have two lame ducks on the county commission? Amit and Bradshaw will no longer be holding office in January. They won't. Neither will be on the ballot in November. Even as it does, things seem calmer, at least for sure. Does it seem like Amit and Bradshaw were generally perceived to be more aligned on issues in opposition to Williams? Have they kind of taken more of a back seat, seeing that they're not going to be in office for that much longer? Or how are things different over there now?
Yes, definitely calmer, but not friendlier, I would say. The sides are still there. Yeah. And we do see a little bickering every once in a while over certain points. But after the election, I can't speak for Amit's motivations, of course, but he definitely took a little bit of a step back. He was very hands-on shepherding the meetings as the chair. And following the election, he gave a little more leeway to Williams. One of the major points that there were many, many arguments about over the last year was public comments on individual items. And of course, Amit stated that they passed a rule that public can only comment right at the end of the meeting during the public comment section. They can't comment on individual items. And Commissioner Williams has always tried to have people comment on her district report.
Yeah.
And usually that's something they've butted heads about. But now Amit is just allowing her to do that without protests. So it seems like a minute change, but it really says a lot.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, because that was such a bone of contention for so long.
Is the public attendance still pretty large for county commissioner meetings?
It's been going down significantly. I think last time, you still have people on Zoom and, of course, people watching on YouTube, which you can't really see how many people are on YouTube. But I believe last meeting I only saw 4 people in the audience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Significant decline.
Significant. Yeah. It used to be pretty packed.
It was a hot ticket.
It was when the commissioners were arguing a lot more.
Yeah.
The public was more spurred to throw their 2 cents into each argument. But now that things are proceeding pretty calmly, they're not as incensed. I know meetings, they were running for 2-3 hours, and now they've been going for half an hour, 45 minutes. So
it's so interesting because I believe that the argument that Amit was making for this, you know, for restricting public comment to some extent, was that the meetings were going on for so long, and particularly because, like, there were certain public employees who had to be there to give reports, and they would have to wait until their turn came up, and that could be hours out of somebody's working day that they would just be sitting and waiting for a brief turn to speak at a meeting. And I don't know. And so, but it seems like the problem has just sort of gone away now that there's no more fighting about it.
Exactly.
Well, Isn't that just the way things go? All right. So that's what's going on at the county. Do you have anything to say about any of the local elections? I mean, the folks who are going to be on the ballot in November here. It's now August. Of course, national election news has been all anybody's been talking about for a while. Is there anything we may have missed in local politics that between any of the candidates? Are there any races that you find particularly interesting right now as we are less than 100 days from the November election?
Goodness.
Putting you on the spot now.
Yes. My notes. It's been fairly quiet, honestly. I think after the previous election, everyone took a breather. Had to recuperate after campaigning so hard. Mm-hmm. And then recently they've been sticking to a lot of events just by themselves that they're hosting, speaking with the public.
Kind of private events or invitation events seems like, yes, the way campaigns are usually done around here. And it's hard to cover that in the, if you're a journalist.
Exactly. They haven't been too publicly butting heads. Mm-hmm. And so otherwise, that's just how the election goes.
Yeah.
If you're an insider and you're at all of those meetings, I'm sure you could elaborate more, but I am not one of those insiders, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I will mention that there was a city council meeting here in Sandpoint last night. There were and there's been some interest in a lot of what's going on there. But as we mentioned before we went on the air, no real decisions to be made at the city council meeting last night. But there probably will be big news coming from the city and kind of unfolding over the next few weeks and months, I expect, between the wastewater treatment plant, the local option tax, and the animal shelters contract perhaps being rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Any comment on that, or like kind of the direction things are going at Sandpoint City Hall?
Mm-hmm. We do plan in next week's edition to have a little bit of a retroactive on the county meeting, or on the city meeting, pardon me. The one we're really watching is the waste treatment plant, because, of course, reader editor Zach Hagedon and I got to do a very extensive tour, and I know he nerded out about
this.
That
is 88.5
KRFY Pondere. That means it's 8:30, by the way. But continue. Finish your thought. We won't interrupt you there. We spoke to him at length last week.
Yes. It was very interesting and honestly an entertaining tour in a horrible sense, because everything is falling apart. But so getting, they were discussing at the council meeting the engineers that they would like to work with, and hopefully seeing some movement on that, seeing a really substantial plan going forward and getting some secured funding. So that's what we're waiting on. But there's nothing really more important than keeping all of the waste out of the river and in the lake.
Yeah. Well, hopefully so. We'll all be watching that, I think, and smelling that as time goes on. As I just said, it is now 8:30 and we are supposed to leave and let you continue about your day, Sansaray. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Sansaray.
Anything else you want to say, I don't know, about what's coming up in the reader or anything like that? Or do you want to give a plug for The Lord of the Rings before we sign off?
I can. We did
have... Yeah, because you are the Middle Earth correspondent for the reader, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how I got that as my beat. I don't know how they've allowed me to do that. But yes, I will never shut up about The Lord of the Rings. So there was a pretty extensive piece in this week about J.D. Vance's politics and how they relate to The Lord of the Rings, because, as he said, they have inspired his political views. And I sort of pick that apart and question his interpretation of the text.
Okay.
That could go a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a nice time for segues nicely into me mentioning that star of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Viggo Mortensen will be making a live appearance here in Sandpoint on September 14th as part of a fundraiser for this radio station and the Panada Theater. All proceeds for that event, which is an evening with Viggo Mortensen featuring an introduction of his film The Dead Don't Hurt, and then a Q&A to follow. And I don't know if there will be any rules around whether you can ask about Lord of the Rings or not, but maybe you can. That will be September 14th, and tickets are now available through the Panada. So panada.org for tickets, and there's a good chance that will sell out. And we certainly hope it does. It's for a good cause. It's a good movie. He's an excellent public speaker and engaging person to be in a room with. So
quick story that Sansore might appreciate, and telling this because my sister is visiting, but she went studied abroad in New Zealand, and it was during the opening of one of the Lord of the Rings movies, and so the cast was in New Zealand to kind of do a premiere.
Cool.
And so big crowd outside, and my sister held a sign that says Sandpoint loves Viggo Mortensen. And anyway, he happened to see it while he was on the red carpet and blew her a kiss.
So, oh. Yeah.
I've never been more jealous in my life.
Well, okay. September 14th, you can catch him live in person.
And he might blow you a kiss.
And he might blow you a kiss. Bring a sign. That's right. But please put the signs down when the movie starts. Yeah, we're very excited for that here at the radio station, and the Panada is it well as well. Thank you, Sansore. And yeah, now it's time for Otto's Eclectic Mix. Stay tuned for the rest of the day's programming here on Panhandle Community Radio.